dissent.
This is The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. In the wake of the death of Supreme Court Justice Scalia, we're live in South Carolina. We're going to talk about the debate in Greenville at Clemson the night of the justice's death and take you inside a Governor John Kasich event in Malden, South Carolina, in podcast 466. So I'm broadcasting live from Mobile Podcast Command, and it has been performing brilliantly. This thing is amazing. I pull it into the truck stops at night and I leave the engine run. I've turned all the fans and the engines off because people say it's too loud in here, but it's really nice to sleep in here. I got the hammock and it's wonderful. And as you know, Mobile Podcast Command came from ex-government cars. I've told the story many, many times about how I got the ambulance. And let me just say that ex-government cars has opened the Mega Truck Center in Forest Lake, Minnesota. First of all, they still have the great ex-government cars, the Crown Vicks, the Dodge Chargers, the Ford Police sedans, and Chevys as well. But now they have trucks because a lot of governments, state governments, county governments, and so forth, are getting these trucks for emergency vehicles and so forth. So they've got them all. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. Here's the deal with xgovernmentcars.com. Fast financing for all credit levels at xgovernmentcars.com. Right now, especially it's tax time, if you bring in your tax return, you can use it as a down payment and you can get hooked up. Maybe you need a work truck, SUV, they have vans and more. With the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, you buy with confidence. Remember, xgovernmenttrucks.com takes trades. Ed always tells me, tell them I pay the highest values every day and it's no BS. xgovernmenttrucks.com in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street, 763-777-8782, or check them out at xgovernmentcars.com. And yeah, here's the bullhorn.
xgovernmentcars.com.
With the passing of Supreme Court Justice Scalia, the court is now evenly divided between so-called liberals and so-called conservatives. And as the Supreme Court justice passes away, constitutionalist Republicans are demanding that the president not appoint a replacement during an election year and leave that to the next president. Or they are demanding the Senate hold off on its duty of advice and consent as well. In other words, if the president were to appoint someone, some of the candidates are saying that the Senate simply should not hold hearings until a new president is elected. The thing is, and I would say this to everybody who's a Republican, this is why we say that elections have consequences. This is why we say that organization and getting it right in terms of candidates is so important, because if Mitt Romney had won the presidency, he would be appointing a justice. And I'm sure that there wouldn't be all of this rancor about not appointing a justice in an election year. So it's going to be kind of fun to watch this play out. Meanwhile, here in South Carolina, the storyline moves to gut punches, quips, insults, and threats. And you're being told this is what South Carolina politics is like. It's quirky. After all, this is a state that gave you Terry Sanford. And as an aside, I can only wonder how they can say that South Carolina is quirky when Illinois gave us Rod Blagojevich, who is currently in prison. New York has given us none other than Donald Trump. Minnesota has given us Jesse Ventura, and Nevada has given us Harry Reid. So I think all of the states are quirky, actually. The reality is that the carefully constructed scenario of debates and the famous Republican field is coming apart at the seams as the establishment tears its hair out, because the anointed establishment candidates are getting their asses kicked. As the greatest show on earth plays out, it's the P.T. Barnums, it's the Donald Trumps and the Ted Cruzes in the lead in South Carolina, a state that Jeb Bush was supposed to win, at least until everyone votes. That's what the polls are telling us. I think there's something wrong with state primaries being covered like presidential elections. I think there's something wrong with putting all the candidates on a stage, let's call it a cage, and having them answer questions from TV stars and trade insults, elevating the media to a status it does not deserve, and forcing politicians to be craven, foolish, and crude. Not just to act like it, but to be craven, foolish, and crude, saying and doing anything for an upper hand and a chance to win the delegates from each of the states that they're campaigning in. And I question the idea that this primary process forces the cream to the top in American politics. Sometimes I think it is the exact opposite. And I think when this is all over, the powers that be are going to have to take a close look at the primary election cycle, because clearly it has become something it was never meant to be. And I'll talk about this in future podcasts. But I'm telling you, I'm out here, I'm watching it, I'm seeing it, and it is a circus. Meanwhile, we're eating barbecue at a retail event in Malden, South Carolina, eyeing another candidate in a setting with real people. This is the first outdoor event that I have attended. And so this is a sort of a log cabin kind of, it's a new building, but it's kind of a log cabin kind of place. And it has tremendous barbecue. It was so good. Just had it for breakfast. And there are, you know, on one side, a couple of doors, and they've set up the flag. And America Never Gives Up, John Kasich, or Kasich, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And the Palmetto State logo, which is the oddly, you know, quarter moon and a palm tree. And behind me is the big, the media riser that has all the cameras. They're all here, freezing, because they're in the shade. In the sun, it's really warm. But, you know, we're at a point right now, it's very interesting what people say about politics in South Carolina. How, you know, here again, we have people writing things. They come down here, and I don't see these people being quirky or strange or favoring gut punches. And I didn't see that at the last event I went to. I've been to two events in South Carolina. This is the third event in South Carolina. And these people are obviously, you know, residents of the state of South Carolina, but I don't see anything different about this group. Obviously, the accents are different and their history is a little different. And if they're natives of the state going back, just like people from Wisconsin and Minnesota, you know, they have history here. But I don't see, you know, these people as being particularly different. The thing that's interesting, and when you see these people writing things like this is what they're writing. They're saying, you know, South Carolina politics is a gut punch and unpredictable, and it gave us Terry Sanford, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the thing is, I've been all over the country. I've been to a lot of different states. I'm now covering these political events in these different states. And I guess what? They're all different, and they're all quirky, and they all have strange little things about them that are very interesting, because we have 50 states and several territories of the United States that are different. They're all different. They're not the same. And we, you know, the writers spend a lot of time trying to tell people, I have to get out of the wind here, trying to tell people that, you know, we're all the same. And, you know, there's something wrong if the whole country isn't the same. But the fact is, the country is very different, and every state is different, and every state has different politics. Because we have 50 states in a republic, all of which have slightly different politics. It's similar, you know, probably more similar than dissimilar. This is the whole thing about we're all Americans. But it isn't a monolithic place. Politics is different because there are different needs and issues in every state. Some states it's about jobs, some states it's about the environment, and even in different regions of the state. Now, I'm up in Greenville. Greenville is a little more up in the hills. This is a prosperous town. It's a big town. So is Columbia. These are big towns. You know, and so it depends on where you are, Charleston, Myrtle Beach, you know, southern South Carolina down toward Georgia, western South Carolina over toward Georgia or over toward Virginia or Tennessee. You know, this is a particularly interesting place because it's not really the Deep South. It's an Atlantic state, so it has similarities to Virginia, but it also has similarities to the mountain mid-South, like Tennessee, as I've explained in other podcasts. I think we should celebrate the uniqueness of the state. I don't know if it's any more quirky or any less quirky than Minnesota or Wisconsin or Nevada. So I wish they would stop saying that. The other thing that I think is really interesting about South Carolina, and it just simply is the juxtapositioning of the first in the South Republican vote, is that we're at a point now with Donald Trump. We're at a point now with Donald Trump winning New Hampshire and placing second in Iowa, and a strong second, where the Republican establishment is literally freaking out. William Crystal wrote a piece today that's absolutely laughable, talking about how the Republican Party stands for constitutionalism and, American values and everything else. The gist of the article is we've got to do something to stop Trump or we're in big trouble. Well, the problem is that the voters are, so far, they are sticking it in the eye of these establishment, you know, guys like William Crystal, who time has passed by. I mean, that's probably the best way to explain it. Time has passed them by. The average age of this group is probably, again, 50. This is not a young group of people. So we're at the same place we were and will always be with Republicans. It's older, it's white. It's demographically the same as it ever was. And this is the problem with the Republican Party in the sense that many of these people don't realize time's passed them by. And I think William Crystal's a good example. And as I've said many, many times, they did this. You know, the Republican Party went out and encouraged by putting up these debates. They encouraged these candidates, and they never banked on someone like Donald Trump, who is a master of media, to be able to dominate the scene the way he has, social media and everything else. And everyone is scrambling to try to figure out a way to stop him, and they can't. And it's the same thing on the left with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders would have been viewed 20 years ago, someone like that. In fact, he was viewed 20 or 30 years ago as a crank. You know, but he is an anti-establishment Democrat, or I'm sorry, socialist, who, is really getting the Democrat voters' imagination, capturing their imagination because he looks to be an anti-establishment type of candidate. So that's what's going on here. And it's interesting to watch. So South Carolina, when the final vote is held for the Republican primary on February 20th, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens because this could be a big tiebreaker. You know, right now I'd say that it's a tie, you know, but if Trump walks out of here with the victory, these other candidates are really going to struggle. And what have you got? You've got Ben Carson. You've got Donald Trump, you've got Ted Cruz, you've got Marco Rubio, you've got John Kasich, and Jeb Bush. That should be all seven of the guys who are left. And who's here? Another retail event where the candidate is going to be carefully managed. You will not be able to really speak to the candidate. He won't probably take any questions. I mean, I'll tape it. We'll see what happens. But these are what we call retail events. This is where the actives come out and get to see the candidate, and they stand around in the cold, and they're very excited to be part of the whole thing. So, but, you know, there isn't going to be necessarily, there's photo ops and stuff like that, but he's not necessarily going to say anything. And behind here are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cameras, many producers, tweeting, Facebooking, Instagramming, cameramen and everybody else to put this on television. And this will look great on television. You've got, you know, 100 people gathered closely around the porch here.
here where the posters are and everything else. And it's going to look great on TV in close focus. This is going to look like he's speaking to a large crowd of people. And he's not. He's speaking to, you know, I'll give you a dollar if there are 300 people here when this thing gets started in about 20 minutes. So that's my immediate take. And it's nothing against John Kasich. Good luck. You know, I mean, again, we're early on in this process. It's the third primary. There's many, many more to come. And Super Tuesday, you know, as soon as this thing is over, these guys, again, as I said before, they're going to spread out across the South like flies because they've got a campaign all over the place. So the retail part of this in terms of covering, it's going to become very difficult to actually cover this in the way that we covered Iowa, where you can get where you need to go. So here we are at the John Kasich event in Malden, South Carolina at Mutt's Barbecue. The barbecue here is really good.
Well, we're standing around here waiting for the governor of Ohio, John Kasich, to take the stage. Well, these political events like this one today are events. They're designed to create a sense of team. They're designed to create a sense of togetherness, a sense of we're all in this together. And all kinds of people, all kinds of companies, all kinds of organizations have team building exercise. And we've all become familiar with the kinds of things that corporate America does. Companies large and small love team building exercises. And sometimes you end up at a barbecue, which is fun. But most of the time you end up in a hotel room somewhere with cold coffee and the whiteboard and you struggle to keep your eyes open. And your team is like, please get me out of here. And then the other option is to drag people off to a cliff somewhere for rope climbing or, you know, something like whitewater rafting or rappelling down a cliff and even walking across coals. And this is all great for the fearless company athlete, but if you're just not that guy, it can be absolutely terrifying, actually. So if you suggest new team building exercises or you're the person who has to plan these things, I'm going to tell you about a great new sponsor of the Bob Davis podcast, Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. I'm going to tell you how to book a great new, sophisticated and fun way to bond with employees at Brush Studio. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed social setting. An artist guides your team through the featured painting step by step. You don't have to be an artist because it's not about that. It's about having fun. And the fact is that your people are going to be amazed at what they're able to create. They're going to have a sense of accomplishment. It's a great opportunity for all people on your team to bond without walking across coals. This is why they say that a unique brush with art is what it's all about at Brush Studios. Instead of coming away with bruises and scrapes from rappelling or coming away with burned feet, you're coming away with a painting that some people might even hang in their offices. Brush Studio events are designed for left brain people to bring out the right brain, and that's the key because that means ideas, and it's so much better than spending all day in a hotel conference room with the cold coffee. They have room for 55 people at least, plus catering from Crave in the West End. Lots of parking over there. Brush Studio features over 22 brands of beer, an extensive wine collection. So here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page or visit brushstudio.net. They're also on Facebook. You can reach out to Brush Studio in any of those ways, or you can just call them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. And don't forget, they're ninjas at event planning at Brush Studio. And thanks for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts.
Music is such an important part of the process. It's very interesting, the music these guys choose and what it does in terms of the people that are here. Makes it enjoyable. It's part of the, you know, it's so interesting because this is as much about entertainment as anything else, you know, for these people that come out for these things. You know, it buoys up their spirits, you know? And it's just interesting because it's politics, but there's an entertainment portion of this, and this is what I think a lot of people come out for if they're politically active. You know, I don't know how many of these people are actually political actives. It's just interesting how The other thing, in every single one of these things, these reporters run up and they talk to these people, and they don't know anything. I mean, you know, I don't mean to be harsh, but, you know, I just really don't understand what they think they're going to get from talking to supporters. Actually, I know what they think they're going to get. They're going to get that quote that they can use to say, see, this one's this way, or that one's this way, or this is what's happening with this campaign. And I'm telling you, you stand here and you look at these people, and there is no way that you could tell in any way, shape, or form what they're thinking and what they're going to do on February 20th. You just don't know. So why ask? Why not wait for them to vote? Because they got to have something to write about. And there's nothing to write about. It's America. It's a kid with a chance. It's a rock and roll band. It's a farm cutting hay. It's a big flag flying in the summer wind over a fallen hero's grave. It's a high school prom. It's a Springsteen song. It's a welcome home parade. It's a man on the moon and five flies in June. A kid selling lemonade. It's season. America, don't you know?
It would also be good to cross the border to real people, but I don't know if we do that like downtown.
Banjos and fiddles. So there's probably 300 people here now, crowding around the old porch, and it's very interesting. They let media people come up and do B-roll, and of course everybody waves their signs because everybody knows it's going to be on TV. I mean, the American people have reached the point where, you know, we're actually pretty sophisticated when it comes to how this all works. And you can extend this to all kinds of different events. People know what to do in terms of getting into the media, waving the sign at the right moment, crowding around to make things look tight so that, you know, it's going to look like a real down-home, real event in the sun here in South Carolina in front of this little porch on the side of this log cabin kind of barbecue place. And everybody knows that they all know what to do and how to play their part.
Introducing Governor Kasich, wore number 10 for the Clemson Tigers, is an All-American. My favorite quarterback, Taj Boyd.
Taff, I appreciate that, man. Look, this is an unbelievable crowd. It's good to see you out here, man. Modern, it's unbelievable. Much barbecue, some good stuff. And look, I was listening to Governor Kasich in New Hampshire. And, you know, he said something that kind of struck home with me. I know it stuck with you guys. And he said it's not going to be the government that heals us. It's going to be our hearts. And as a state, we've seen tragedy hit. We've seen the Charleston shooting. We've seen the floods. And if it's one thing that this state has done, it's unified itself. It's come together. And Governor Kasich, I think, is for the people. I know he's for the people. He's for Ohio, and he'll be for South Carolina. So for right now, I'm Taj Boyd. We got a lot of Clemson Tigers in here, or what? Let's show them how to do the cadence count one time. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. CLEMSONTIGERS. Fight, Tuggers. Fight, Tuggers. Fight, fight, fight. Woo!
Tosh. Come on out here, Tosh. You know, I guess you were all shouting that when you beat Ohio State in the Orange Bowl. Folks, you know, look, we've got our challenges in this country, but we've got a great country, and I want to tell you that we can balance budgets, and we can cut taxes, and we can get an environment with common sense regulations to create jobs. We can fix the border. We can save Social Security. Why don't you leave all that to me, okay? Leave all that to me. But I'll tell you what I think we need to think about. I believe that all of us in this world have to realize that the good Lord made us special. And sometimes people lose hope when they don't understand that they were made to do something special in their lives, no matter how poor, no matter how neglected, no matter how lonely. You got somebody there that cares about you, that loves you unconditionally. And I think to some degree, maybe our country has kind of lost a sense of that, some parts of our country. And maybe it's just not easy for politicians to talk about, but not hard for me to talk about. I found the Lord a long time ago, and I know through the peaks and the valleys, He's with me. Young man right there, you got to change the world. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't spend our time waiting on some president to come fix us. We decided that we were going to fix ourselves, that we were going to build things up ourselves, that we were going to connect and make stronger families. And not only stronger families, but stronger neighborhoods. And not only stronger neighborhoods, but stronger schools. We're all part of a mosaic, a beautiful, beautiful mosaic, all of whom are special, that are designed to make this society where we live at this point in time better. You got a problem with drugs, like we have a curse in this country? I'll tell you how you fight drugs. Oh, we'll give you some money from the government. Kiddo? Yeah, right there. What is your name?
Preston.
Preston, you come on over here a second, Preston. Now, how old are you, Preston?
11.
11. What is your name?
Daniel, I'm 14.
Yeah. And you're 14. Guys, I'm going to ask you a question. What happened to you if you messed around with drugs? Huh? What would happen?
Nothing good.
You want to make a commitment to get your buddies to realize, you too, Preston, that you don't mess around with drugs? Huh?
Yeah.
You promise us.
I promise.
You do.
Yes.
And you promise us?
I do.
Give them a round of applause, okay? That's how we beat drugs in our neighborhood. We can get a little help from the government, but it's up to us. Got it, kid? Samford, Greek life, are you still in school? You're in high school. No drugs. Okay, thank you, boys. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. We want to fix our schools. I mean, for me, as the president, I'm going to ship all these programs, education programs, back into your neighborhood. You're going to fix those schools. STEAM education. Put some art in there, too. Not just STEM, but art, too. But you know what? Do you know how hard it is to fix the schools? We need a flexible education system that taps into the patient to the passions of our young people to make sure that we're guiding them toward their purpose. So I want some people here to run for school board and shake it up. And when they try to tell you, oh, you just got to understand the way things are, you tell them, take a hike. I'm here to change things. We have to pull our families and communities and neighborhoods together. That's the glue, because America was never built from the top down because of the big time, big wig political leaders. America is great because it's built strong from the bottom up. And we send a message to those at the top to do their job. We're doing our job. You go do your job. First 100 days, you got to get a seatbelt. First of all, on the federal regulations, if they're snuffing out small business, we're going to get rid of them. We don't want any crazy, mind-numbing regulations on orders from on high to come down here and hurt us build strong neighborhoods and create jobs, okay? We're not going to tolerate that. And we're going to force the Congress to vote on those regulations so we don't have a bunch of bureaucrats making law. And secondly, we got to cut taxes. And if we can help our companies to invest in plant and equipment so our workers can get higher wages, and if, in fact, we can allow them to have the incentives to invest quickly and write off the cost of that, like they'd love to do at Nucor, where I just was the other day, then we're going to see our businesses creating more jobs. And then finally, we got to balance the budget. We got a lot of kids here today. I mean, they got $58,000 worth of debt right now, and we're running a $19 trillion. I don't even know what that means. But what I do know is that the interest on that big amount of debt is $225 billion. And just think if we took $1 billion of it, and we invested it in fighting Alzheimer's and dementia and ALS and pancreatic cancer, we'd be a healthier society if we didn't have to pay all that debt. And we're going to fix the border. I would tell you, we're not going to ship people out of here, go into their homes and yank them out, leave the kids on the stoop crying. We're going to make them pay a fine and a penalty for the fact that they came here illegally. But another thing, we're going to do the border. We're going to fix the border finally. And no matter what special interests say, don't do it, because that's what's holding it up. Well, we're going to lock the doors in this country. And if you come in, you're going back. No more excuses. No more excuses. But for those that are here, we'll make them pay a fine. We'll make them pay some back taxes. We'll make them do some things to a path to legalization if they have not violated the law. But I tell you this, we're not going to make them citizens. They have not earned it. And that's just not acceptable in this country. And we're going to fix Social Security. And we know how to do that. Really, and we're going to rebuild the military, by the way. And I got another thing I want to tell you. And then I'm going to have to get on a plane and fly around the world and tell the world leaders America's back. We're going to have your back. And we're going to work together to defeat the evil of ISIS and anybody else that wants to destroy Western civilization or deny women the right to rise just like men. We're going to do all of that in the first 100 days, and then we'll just get started on the second 100 days. I'll give you a little advice. Every once in a while, watch the Golf Channel or music television. You know, don't spend all your time watching all that stuff, huh? And look, they're all here. Boy, I'm going to get a lot of nasty letters. But when we drive on our bus, I watch the Golf Channel. People are like, that is so boring. I said, watch it. You'll be in a better mood if you watch that. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm going to do every single thing I can to make sure that the campaign that I'm running is about the horizon. And there's not a lot of room for negative campaigning. I want to run a positive campaign to the highest office in America. I'll do that job up there if you'll do your job down here, and then we'll all celebrate at the next Clemson football game. How would that be? Give me a chance to take this message to America. God bless you all, and God bless America, and God bless South Carolina. Thank you all very much.
So from here, I'm getting ready to roll out of South Carolina. A couple other things to do, and then I'm out of here because I want to get down to Georgia and Florida and Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana and Texas, where the action is going to shift. And it's going to be focused on the South because of Super Tuesday, even though there are other states besides Southern states as part of Super Tuesday primaries. South Carolina is going to give us a result, and going into Super Tuesday, these candidates are going to start spreading out to all of the other states. I still need to go to a Ben Carson event. I still need to go to a Bernie Sanders event. I still need to go to a Hillary Clinton event. And I still need to get down and see what the people in Georgia think and see what the people in Florida think and so on. So that's what's next in the Bob Davis podcasts. And then back home to Minnesota. I'm pretty excited about, well, actually I'm not, because it's four below or five below or whatever it is. I'm still cold. I'm in South Carolina and the cold is following me. So I can't wait to get down to Florida, and that is next. Thanks once again to Brush Studio in the West End for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. Don't forget, companies large and small love these team building exercises, and I'm going to suggest to you how to book a great new sophisticated and fun way to bond with employees at Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. You're going to come away with a great experience for your team. They've got a huge wine list and lots of craft beers. Here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page or visit brushstudio.net. Reach out to Brush Studio for a great company event. 952-236-1700. 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. Don't forget X-Government Trucks and XGovernmentCars.com. The new X-Government Trucks Mega Truck Center is open in Forest Lake, Minnesota at 356 19th Street. Ford, Chevys, Dodges, Toyotas, they still have the great X-Government cars. Bring in your tax return. It hooks you up with great financing right now. Remember, xgovernmenttrucks.com in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street, 763-777-8782. And thanks, Ed, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts.
xgovernmentcars.com.
I've noticed that these candidates, especially in South Carolina, have to fly all over the state because driving from one end of the state to another just takes forever. These towns are really far apart, and it made me think about pilots. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, you know, you want to get there, but you want to get there safely. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It saves lives. If you check out Alpha Systems' website, which you can get to by simply clicking on that banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, you'll find out that they have saved lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved. It's ready to go into your avionics package today. Again, click on the Alpha Systems banner for more information at the top of the Bob Davis podcast.com. And thanks you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. And thanks to all the people that are listening on Stitcher.com. It's really interesting because Stitcher actually went down for a couple of days. And Stitcher is the best app for Android. It's always worked great. But this is why the Bob Davis podcasts are available in so many different places. We're available on iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play. If you're listening and looking for the Bob Davis podcasts radio show, it's available at GCN Live. And thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting, and following me, especially on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for all the kind words about the videos that I've been putting up. I love doing those now that I have my new phone, so it's really cool. And thanks for your donations for beef jerky and Komodo Dragon coffee and diesel fuel in Mobile Podcast Command as I head on down to Florida. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 466.